So nefarious, so nefarious. Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious.
I'm the
eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh. Make you cry.
Oh, cool.
But most importantly, he's gonna save you.
Take that.
You'll let him speak for himself.
Hey, everybody.
Pass him the money. Hey. This way.
Whatever. Welcome to the Octavarius Podcast. This is episode 93
of the podcast. Houtini.
Well, that's one.
Well done.
That's one, Scott.
That was pretty awesome, Scott.
Well.
I think that will be the special drink on Sunday's show.
I would think that too.
Oh, that should be.
Joe was already talking about it. The Houtini.
Awesome.
I'm still gonna try to make a blue milk somehow.
Why?
Because that's what you're supposed to do.
well, we are mildly on the subject. If you are, well, I guess our live stream is down right now. So I guess if you're listening to this, I am so glad you came to the Star Wars show yesterday. It was a great Star Wars musical. There was so much amazing singing, amazing dancing. Everyone was dressed up. Every single person was dressed up.
My Leia costume was awesome.
Yeah, it was. And without any further ado, let's start at the far end of the room.
B-B-B-B-B-Wo.
Scott.
Nick.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Woo. And Boba Fett.
Huh?
And Bossk.
And Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Oh, damn it. Where's the mailbag? Where's that mailbag?
Oh!
Mailbag.
I got it right here.
Hang on, you got a cord wrapped around the mailbag.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay, there we go.
Let me just open this one up. And this letter comes from Jabba D. Hutt.
He still insists on reading them. He's still looking at the boxing glove.
He's reading a boxing glove.
Oh, you know what? Hang on, you guys, a second. I need to put this one through Google Translate. It's written in Huttese.
Oh,
unless
no.
You guys want me to just read the original.
No, read the original.
Okay.
Onan Gitu Konowangi Octavarius Jabahuna Higo Sawa Shinobobo Star Wars Colombo George Lucas Kanoka Eflona Simokonahahi Kosle Adnai Adawanchu Love Jabba.
Well, thank you so much for your letter, Jabba. From that, I gather we're talking about Star Wars.
He seems to think I owe him money that I don't owe him. So he can just whatever, dude.
Did you guys take Huttese in high school?
I did.
I totally didn't.
Well,
it's Spanish.
It's all based in Latin, so I can pick up bits and pieces.
Wow. I took Spanish.
Mm-hmm. It's not based in Latin, yeah.
No. No.
It's just
based in Spanish. So, Star Wars, huh?
What's that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, is Star Wars in, like, all your guys' top... Like, A New Hope. Is that in all your guys' top five, or...
I'd say Empire is in my top five.
But A New Hope not?
Not top five.
I do rank Empire above A New Hope, I think. But A New Hope is definitely classic in its own right.
Same thing.
It introduces us to all the characters we know and love.
It's hard because I feel like Empire is a better movie, but A New Hope was so revolutionary for its time.
Sure.
Like, can you imagine, like, even the title... Because it was marketed as Star Wars. I don't believe it was marketed as A New Hope.
No.
It was marketed as Star Wars.
So, like, think about... that'd be like... military film, like it's like a super generic title. It looked like a type of movie they had, you know, it looked like a Buck Rogers type movie in all the previews. So it's like, it'd be like
that. I dug the previews, though, because in the previews, you could see the ships flying without strings.
That's true. But we also didn't see them.
Buck Rogers had strings.
We also didn't see them when they were coming out against all the other stuff they were coming out with, though. Like, we see them now already knowing that they're huge hits.
But doesn't that, like, doesn't seeing ships fly with no strings, like, doesn't that, wouldn't that be awesome?
I mean, maybe if I, but I've always seen them with no strings, so I don't know that.
Also, think about this, though, like, it came out in the 70s, and the 70s are considered, like, the, like, a very different time film period, because no one knew what would succeed, so you had movies like Taxi Driver and
Chinatown.
Like, Chinatown. All these movies that they had no idea what would succeed. And then, you know, I've always, like, really cool, like, Godfather, these, like, epic, like, actor driven movies and all these things. And then suddenly Star Wars comes out of nowhere. Like, I'm sure that's why everyone flocked to it. So, like, what's next? What else is coming out in this decade?
Shit. Yeah. May 25th, 1977.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, no one, like, all these people were predicting it wouldn't do well. Mm-hmm. And then the first wave of people that saw it just told everybody about it.
Well, that was a different thing too. That was at that time, movies were released differently than they are now. Mm-hmm. At that time, movies started with a limited release and then expanded. All of them were like that.
And then
Star Wars expanded to so many screens and it was everywhere. But at first, it was just on a few screens.
And of course, there isn't commercials and internet like there is today. And like my dad tells me a great story that he had no idea what Star Wars was. And he went and saw it with my mom and his brother-in-law and his wife. And he remembers the line from the movie theater was just out the door. And he was pissed off. And, you know, what are we going to see that I have to sit in line for this? And after he saw it, went outside and got back in line to see it immediately again.
Wow.
And just blown away.
Awesome. Wow. See, I cannot imagine now going to a movie theater to see a movie where I don't know anything about what this film's going to be.
Right. And, like, everyone thinks it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because now, like, there's so much money in movies you're just completely swamped with marketing.
Well, and now, well, ticket prices for movies are so expensive now, it really becomes a big decision. Like, you really don't want to go see a shitty movie in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I only see a movie in the theater if it's going to be like, if it's worth seeing on a movie screen. Like, I saw Captain America, I didn't even see Thor, but like, other movies, I'll find on my computer for free like a week later. I'll be like, well, this is a good movie, but is it really worth the $10, $11?
And you've just incriminated yourself.
Yeah.
That's right.
Crime.
Me, Scott Hogan, found high download movies illegally.
Well, you shouldn't do that, Scott.
You didn't say Makula at the beginning of the podcast.
You just said Nick. Could be his middle name.
Oh, I can't remember that for you. Now, I do remember standing in line for films that would wrap around the building and then being denied.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had that.
For the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
wow.
I stood in line with my mother and two friends, and it wrapped around the building. This was the movie theater that was in the parking lot of Woodfield Mall.
Yeah.
The line wrapped around the building. This was after we drove by two other theaters that had longer lines. And we made it all the way in up to about maybe 20, 25 feet from the door to get into the theater. And we were denied.
I've only ever had one movie be sold out on me.
It was just before the big multiplexes.
What
existed.
Movie was that, Mark?
It was the Fathom Events Mystery Science Theater, or Rift Tracks, not Mystery Science Theater. The Rift Tracks, was it Plan 9, I think?
I think
you were there.
We went there. We did go together,
didn't
we?
We got totally cock-blocked.
Yeah, but I guess that's different. I don't think we got there and there was like a line already out the door or whatever. We just, like, it was just sold out because we didn't get tickets in advance.
And I want to say we, like, heard some guy on the way out being like, oh, Mr. Science Theater's sold out. And we were like, damn it. I don't even know if we made it all the way to the front.
It's got to be a different experience now, though, because there are so many avenues that you can reserve your tickets at. Mm-hmm. So it's like we've almost designed the movie theater system so that you don't really have lines out the door anymore, except for, you know, except for like big films that open at midnight and people want to get super good seats and whatnot.
But even though, like, Lauren, when you gathered the group to see the last Harry Potter movie, that was, we reserved tickets a couple weeks in advance, didn't we?
Yeah, well, because we got the VIP treatment. But my favorite new thing now is I'm starting to try to get into the screenings, like the early preview screenings for movies.
How do you, how, what's your strategy there? What's
your
plan?
Oh, man. So, I belong to, like, the Chicago Hollywood Hookup and GoFobo.com and, like, all these other...
GoFobo?
It's something like that, yeah. And you get invitations to different screenings all the time, but I rarely go to a lot of them. I want to go, well, mostly because I can't get out of work that early, but I'm really just waiting for, like, the Harry Potters or the Twilights or, you know, those type of movies.
I see.
Are you going to go see Twilight at midnight?
Undecided.
Yes, you are.
You are disappointed.
What? There's going to be a hot sex scene, finally. So
finally.
You're right, it's going to be a pretty good film.
What's your guys' favorite scene in the original Star Wars?
Oh, man.
Like in A New Hope or in the original trilogy? In A New Hope.
In A New Hope. The original New Hope.
We got to save the others for the other musicals.
Yeah, we're going to start. Okay. I figure we can start with New Hope here. For me, I my favorite scene in A New Hope is it's so hard to choose.
No, it is. It is.
Now that I'm thinking about it. I really love the original cantina scene.
Yeah.
Because you know, and undoctored, because the whole scene with, you know, getting into the cantina, finding out that the droids are really second-class citizens.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
Well, not even second-class. They're like third or fourth class. I mean, they're treated like shit.
But, like, he says they don't serve them. Like, what would they order?
Yeah.
Like, not even want them in the...
Yeah, yeah. They just don't even want them in the room.
Not welcome, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the altercation at the bar. You know, with Pon de Boba getting his arm chopped off by Obi-Wan. And then you meet Han Solo and how confident he and Chewie are about the Millennium Falcon, even though they're being tasked with outrunning Star Destroyers. And then Greedo and Han just fucking shooting Greedo.
That's a killer scene, you know?
And I hate that they changed it to Greedo shooting first, because I felt that, like, it just showed, like, Han has been through some shit and... Clearly, Greedo had, you know, bad intentions, so he just, you know, got rid of it right away.
Although, what was Lucas's intention behind changing it was that he didn't want Han to appear, like, too cold-blooded or whatever?
Yeah, it was in the spot, yeah.
That was his rationalization, but I never felt that Han was cold-blooded.
No.
I just felt that he knew what was coming.
Keeping himself alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he knew Jabba was after him.
Go.
I was gonna say my favorite scenes. So when I was little, my dad sat me down and said, "You need to watch this," and I fell in love with Star Wars. I actually started watching. I watched Return first. I'd be like, "Let's watch the teddy bear movie," you know. But in A New Hope, my favorite scene was when Leia gets rescued. I mean, you know, Luke comes in. What does he say? Like, I'm
Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
Yes,
oh, you mean the uniform.
It's.
You can go on like this.
You're rescue. I'm here with Ben Kenobi.
The rescue. Like every
He's
day,
here?
I would play like the tied up, you know, damsel in distress, and I'd want the, you know, boy to come rescue.
Did you play with anyone, or just like tie yourself
tied up, waiting for someone to come in your... so you can insult him?
What a metaphor for Lauren Ivany's life.
My love life. Anyways, that was
so, boys, answer. If you're that Luke Skywalker out there, there's no one too short for this princess.
What was your favorite, Mark?
There's two really short ones that for some reason as a kid, I loved the scene when they're, right as they're leaving the Death Star, they jump in the quad laser cannons and they have to shoot out four TIE fighters.
Oh, that's fun.
For whatever reason, it's just a really fun, it's got good music, they're like yelling at each other.
Great,
like,
kid, don't get cocky!
And then almost like right after that, one of my favorite acting and writing exchanges is that, like, Princess Leia's, you know, being demanding or whatever and telling them smart things. And then she leaves and Luke sits down and Han's like, what do you think of her? And, you know, he's like, and then Luke doesn't really reply and he's like, stubborn, right? I don't know. What do you think, a princess on a guy like me?
No, I don't.
It's just so well done. Yeah. It's just an incredible, and it says so much about both of them. And it's really funny, but it's also like really serious.
That's pretty awesome. I put a question out to the interwebs, and I put ladies, Han or Luke, and it pretty much seems like everybody's for Han.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, God.
I mean, he's Luke's cute, too.
My second favorite, but it's like a 1A, is after they shoot up the detention level. Right by cell block AA-23. You know, Han has to respond to, you know, the alarm and yes. say, you know, you know, no problem, situation normal, and then
it's just
a weapons malfunction.
Harrison Ford did not memorize his lines for that scene on purpose.
Everything's fine here. Everything's fine. How are you?
How are you?
I think I say that as maybe my most quoted Star Wars line.
So fun.
I would say that my favorite, you guys actually mentioned a bunch of my favorite scenes. I would also go, like, the storming of detention block AA-23 is just great. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, what's that Wookiee doing here? And then Chewbacca just, like, backhands an Imperial guard, like, 20 feet in the air.
Yeah.
And they just shoot it up. I'd say the opening scene, which is, like, the rebel guards just running down there, just mass chaos. And then, like, the smoke goes everywhere, and then you see just Vader walking in. Like, Vader's entrance is great.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. Like, and then it's crazy, because you don't even see his face. Like, he's just this horrifying bad guy. They set him up really well.
Yeah.
Well, so that the design of Vader's mask is that, like, what is it? Is it Shaolin? Is that what the...
I couldn't tell, yeah.
What is the style something. Of the mask? To anyone with the internet, why don't you bing it, Lauren?
Whatever it is, I think it's from the Seven Samurai, as I think...
What's the like that? Which character again?
It's a Vader's mask. Is it a Shaolin style? Is it samurai style? I know Lucas is heavily influenced by samurai films, particularly...
Kurosawa.
And
Rashomon, I believe.
Rashomon. Right?
Oh, that's right. Isn't Star Wars like kind of very, very similar to Rashomon?
Because it's told through the perspective of the droids, the slaves.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing, is that we follow our real... I guess Luke is the protagonist, but really we're following 3PO and R2 throughout all of this. That's they're the ones showing us the story. You know, they're the Gonzo and Rizzo of the Muppet Christmas Carol.
The Kabuto is the helmet used with traditional Japanese armor worn by just the samurai class in feudal Japan. And that was the inspiration.
Kabuto style. So it's very intimidating, naturally, the look of the Vader's helmet. Mm-hmm. It's just, the second you see that shape of helmet and that mask, it just spooks you.
He's a giant man. Like the guy who plays him.
What was David Prowse? Like 6'7", 6'8"?
Something like that.
Yeah. At least like 10 feet 6.
10'6", yeah.
I mean, he's no Peter Mayhew.
Although it is funny if you see the clips of him reading the lines while they were filming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not very intimidating.
And bring me your passengers. I want them alive.
He does have a very effeminate British voice for such
it's
a large
really
man.
Funny. Wow.
Is it, did David Prowse, that's is he still saying. Alive or did he recently pass?
I don't know.
I forget. Oh, God bless you, David Prowse. You're a great Vader.
Star Wars also had had a bunch of actors in there that would probably normally not do a Star Wars movie. You had Alec Guinness, who's gotten, prior to that, multiple Academy Award nominations.
Yeah, how
probably
did they do that?
Peter Cushing, who was like a classic like villain actor like in the 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm. He played Hamlet. He was great Hamlet.
Yeah. And you get them in the Star Wars movie, too, which...
I don't recognize the name, because I'm terrible at names. Who did he play?
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
how did they get those actors? Is there, like... Did you just pay them?
I don't know. Well, IMDb is telling me that Alec Guinness is reportedly did not enjoy his time on Star Wars
at all.
And
not at all.
Well, I know. The IMDb thing is giving me conflicting information. Alec Guinness says to this day that... said to that day... That he did not like being in Star Wars, considered it a bad film, and in fact, apparently suggested his death scene be so quick into the series so he can stop saying all of those silly lines and such. And of course, Lucas says just the opposite, so who knows?
I read his autobiography, so yeah. I know. Actually.
His autobiography is great,
yes, his autobiography is fantastic.
He has a fascinating life.
Oh, God, he's awesome. Like, if any of you guys want to borrow it, I highly recommend it. But yeah, Guinness did not like filming Star Wars. But he did understand the power of the film after finally seeing it. Making the film was a painstakingly awful process for most involved, because there was just so many things, and it was just a disaster.
So many desert scenes,
and it was really disorganized. A lot of people got dysentery.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Why? Because they were in Tunisia, and you know they just
is not.
And they didn't have much of a budget, Lauren, so they didn't have enough money to really pay somebody to watch out for them all the time and all that stuff. It's just, you know, they had trouble on Raiders of the Lost Ark, same deal. But Guinness did not like it very much.
Those are real natives that were chasing them in those Indiana Jones movies.
Which is, it's
not part of the plot. They just had to write it in.
It's also hard to, I mean, like, you must have really fucked up if Alec Guinness hated your desert scenes. Because he's quite experienced at those.
Yes. Yeah. He was quite the presence on set, and everybody, you know, kind of took cues from him. And he was a consummate professional, though. Although he did not enjoy it, he made it a point to set an example and be a professional. And you know, God, the dude put on a clinic and was nominated for an Oscar for that film for a reason.
Yeah.
He deserved that nomination. I think he probably deserved the Oscar. He was fucking awesome. I understand there were other good films that year.
Who won?
I think it was a dude from Godfather?
Oh. No, I think it was a guy from... It came out the same year Rocky did.
Rocky?
I think it may have been someone from Rocky, but I could be way off in saying
I'm going to look up the Oscars for 77.
I don't think there's a performance in Rocky that was better than Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm going to say that now. I'm sorry, Sly.
Yeah. At least I know everyone in Rocky was nominated, I thought, all four leads were.
I know Adrian was. And Sylvester Stallone won, didn't he? Or did it just win
he
Best
won
Picture?
For Best Screenplay. Best Screenplay.
He was nominated, though, for Best Actor.
Who was the supporting actor? Was it Mickey?
No, his Adrian's brother.
Oh.
Paulie.
Okay, he was actually good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, 77 was a hell of a year for movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, Alec Guinness did not like, you know, filming it. But he did, after he saw the films, realize their impact and loved, you know, the mythology of it all. And so he agreed to return. And he also got a nice payday. And it's never really a terrible thing for an actor to become immortal. I mean, that movie really made Alec Guinness immortal. All those actors are pretty much immortal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I'm sure he was sitting there on set being like, fuck this, I was in Lawrence of Arabia. And then, too. Now everyone's going to remember him from Star Wars.
But, you know, and I feel that started a tradition right there with having a brilliant actor in a popcorn film to sell the credibility of the film. Right after that, Superman had Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, of course, Lord of the Rings has so many actors. X-Men, like Harry Potter,
yeah.
X-Men. I mean, the list goes on taking people from the Royal Shakespeare Company.
I think part of it, too, though, is that Star Wars showed that you could actually have a really good popcorn film.
Yes.
That had, like, that was just a great movie as well as being, you know, blockbuster.
I thought Carrie Fisher was great in it.
Mm-hmm. I have news back from the internet. It looks like Rocky was actually 76, but you know it was 77. Was not only Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but also Annie Hall,
which
looked like stole a bunch of shit from Star Wars.
Ah. Yeah. Man, Close Encounters v. Star Wars must have been an interesting year for Spielberg and George Lucas.
It's no contest. Like, Close Encounters is a great movie, but come on.
I don't think it was necessarily intended as a contest, because Star Wars came out in May. Close Encounters came out way later.
I'm sure they were just partying about how awesome their movies were doing.
Yeah,
they were, and then they thought about
things came out. How do you know that? Why do you know what month something came out? Why is that important?
I only know what month Star Wars came out.
I know about the month of Star Wars, and I know about that year a lot in film, Keith, because that year and the way those movies performed changed the way that movies are released. It changed the entire industry. There wasn't the summer blockbuster before that year, and also that was the first year that really merchandising, you know, your action figures from films and just using the film to make money in other ways hadn't really been done to the way that Star Wars did it before. And so that was a tremendous thing. And then also, it changed the way things were considered for awards. It set up an awards season and a popcorn film season. God, what else happened? There were just a lot of things with that. And I just, yeah, I'm a fan of that sort of the industry in that way, too. So I study that, I guess. I'm a real nerd on that.
You guys know what I'm a fan of?
What are you?
What?
The Force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Force is rad. It's pretty awesome.
Hasn't tried
it? I mean, as far as superpowers go, it's pretty low key, but it's really effective in the movies.
But I don't. You have to be fair to the movies, though. Is that to have those powers, you have to live kind of this tragic life.
Yeah.
You're heroic, but it's a tragic life.
I feel like you live your life like you're a priest. You're a priest, but you fight.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Sure. And you can fuck as many ladies as you want.
Yeah, that's the thing. So what are they? Would that be like? I guess just a minister,
like Knights Templar,
preacher,
like,
yeah,
like warrior monks.
Warrior monks, Knights Templar. Yeah.
Do you guys ever like in the elevator pretend?
Yes.
You open the door
every time.
The L
when you time it right, it's amazing.
Or like going into the jewel.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going into the jewel. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like doing it to cars while I walk in the crosswalk.
Are you kidding? That's awesome.
You get very confused looks.
Now I love the Force in A New Hope and Empire, but I feel like Jedi took it to the limit.
Jedi is my favorite action scene. Has my favorite scene in the entire Star Wars trilogy,
which
is involving the Force, is when Luke's about to jump in. He's about to be forced in the Sarlacc pit. And he just waves at R2, jumps off, catches on the diving board, does like two backflips, Force grabs the lightsaber, and then takes out 20 guys.
Yeah.
That's
pretty sweet.
That's my favorite scene in the entire trilogy.
A great opening scene.
It's about 25 minutes in.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think? Do you think the borderline thing in it is the hand lightning?
That's like, because then you're like, okay, that's the most powerful dark power.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you got into books, films, beyond that, then it was like, shit, you can do just about anything with the Force. And
really?
It
gets
cool.
Worse than hand lightning?
Empire, Luke crashes a Star Destroyer into a planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah.
I guess in The Force Unleashed, the video game, you end up pulling down the Apprentice character. Pulls down a Star Destroyer.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's still just the power of pulling things, but you can pull things really big.
I guess, yeah.
Well, yeah, because size matters not.
But what about... Okay, I'll give you that.
All right.
Now, what about the movement of lightsabers and the weight of lightsabers in movie 1 versus movie 4?
Well, Lucas told them when they were first fighting with lightsabers, they said,
were
what
like
the hell
heavy,
is this?
Right?
He said, imagine this is the heaviest, like,
broadsword
you can think of. Mm-hmm. And then they struggle to fight each other with it, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And the fights in the newer movies, they're cool to watch, they're well done, and they're fun, but they're, you know...
The older movies, they're more like knights would have to fight, you know?
And it puts so much more weight on every strike.
Yeah.
Yeah,
struggle. Because those strikes are heavy, it allows them to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah,
You can't talk when you're flipping around. Yeah. Like, just to, you know, talk a little shit.
That's why Darth Maul never said anything interesting.
Too busy flailing.
The other thing that's really crazy when you think about fighting with a lightsaber, like a normal sword is built so that if you put your finger... where the hilt meets the blade, it will balance.
Yeah.
Because you need that balance to manipulate it.
Uh-huh.
Because you're using, like, your wrist, like a lever, more or less. Or, like, would that be it? Yeah. Something like that. So imagine a lightsaber. The entirety of the weight is in the hilt. So it's like waving a flashlight around. Except that whenever a lightsaber comes into contact with another lightsaber, you instantly have a ton of force pushing on it. But not only do you have a ton of force that appears instantly, it could appear at any point on the blade. So if an equal amount of force is hitting the very end, it's putting a lot more leverage on your hand. Versus if it's hitting by your hand, it's a lot less. So there's almost no way to gauge, unless you have awesome force senses and you can semi-predict what's about to happen, what you're going to be feeling when you hit another lightsaber or another object.
Are you saying you can't predict the force without having the force?
Exactly. Small pretty, F and then capital F.
That's pretty crazy, though. I'd never thought about it that way, but you're totally right.
Yeah.
Wow. It would be almost impossible for like a normal human to fight with unless you trained for like
your time. And that's why
Jedi can use the lightsabers, and that's why you don't see other people just waving them around.
Well, it's also like...
Except for the robot that does in the second one.
Well, sure.
And Han, when he cuts open that Tauntaun.
Yeah, but that was he was very careful about that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of respect for that. Because
otherwise, you only get to make one mistake with a lightsaber. Nobody's ever made two mistakes with a lightsaber.
Well, and the other thing that's weird about a lightsaber is if you attack, like, a wall, your lightsaber is just going to cut it. The only thing that it will create force on your lightsaber is another lightsaber.
Right.
Yeah.
There is resistance.
But like in theory there wouldn't be.
In theory, no. But I guess in episode one theory where they have to cut the door and shit, yes.
Okay.
If it goes fast, it can slice thin things.
Okay.
If you hold it on an object, it will melt that object and everything around it.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe there I guess have to be limitations to its energy. Then there's also like lots of other shit, like what if you just put up a mirror? It's made of light.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be dangerous.
It's interesting.
Interesting!
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, man, I always wanted a cool blaster, though. There's something about Han's blaster that's just rad. And that sweet thigh holster.
Yeah, that's what I always wanted.
You just look like a badass with that thigh holster.
I would wear Han's wardrobe any day.
Yeah.
Especially in Empire, but any of the movies.
Empire, yes.
Empire, yeah.
With that black jacket.
I don't know. I even like his cool gloves in A New Hope, mm-hmm. where he's got the leather gloves and the shirt.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Forget it.
Dude, I could get laid if I walked around in that shit on a Friday. Easily. And not just in Boys Town.
So
do you guys... Oh.
No, go ahead, Lauren.
I was going to say, do guys really think that the buns on the head is hot? Or
I don't
just...
think it's particularly the buns that are hot.
It's just...
I feel it's like it's that type Fisher. Of character. I think that's a
the
sexy...
buns on top.
I think it's a sexy character. It's a sexy archetype.
Got it. But the hair wasn't what overdid it.
No, I didn't, get a big old boner looking at Leia's hair.
Because it's just a strange dude. And Cinnabon. It never really, did it ever really catch on? Were women wearing
when
the
you when you tied yourself up and waited for someone to come save you? Did you do your hair in the bun?
I know I did at least once when I was little.
So why did you?
But
do
I
it?
Always needed help, you know. So my mom didn't do that all the time for me.
I feel like it may not have been super sexy, but it was extremely memorable.
Yeah.
And I think that worked even better than sexy because there's lots of people that can be sexy. It's hard to. Have people actually remember it. Like, to now we talk about her hairdo.
Yeah.
Like, whoever was the hairstylist on that must have an awesome day whenever that happens.
Well, and I was a sexy Leia for Halloween once, and, all I had to do was the buns and, the white shirt and the blaster, and, that was it. It was recognizable.
I like that sexy Leia isn't slave costume Leia.
Well, no, because, I don't know.
Those slave costumes are expensive.
Yeah.
I like them.
Yeah, that's they're was awesome. A sexy I'm a fan. Costume,
I'd wear one.
The problem is where
you look great, Keith.
I know. It'd be great.
It's just where are you going to store a metal bikini when you're not wearing it, you know?
It would be so cold. On a hanger.
You've got it. Hanger ain't going to hold that metal bikini.
I can get some pretty good fucking hangers.
It would actually be extremely hot in the desert. To be in a metal
it'd be awful. It'd burn your skin.
It's okay. She's under the shade of the sails of the sail barge.
probably another 10 pounds on her, too, you know?
That's okay. Leia's strong. Leia's a strong woman.
Speaking of costumes, do you know there's a Jabba the Hutt costume out there?
I have seen this.
And I, every like Halloween? For the past 2 years, I've been meaning to buy it, and I haven't.
Is it a one-person costume?
It's a one... Well, the one I want to make was a four-person costume, but I can't find three other guys to join me in this adventure.
Three other Did dudes you ask? To sit and smell your farts for a few hours?
This one's different.
That's the one... Yeah, that's the one that I found online. That's the one I wanted to buy. But the one I wanted to get, the original Jabba the Hutt, it was four guys inside a thing, and I'd just take a bunch of, like, brown garbage bags, staple them together, and I'd be the head, two other guys would be, like, one of the arms, and someone would be the tail.
Suffocating.
No, we do the animal box thing with the holes.
You poke a fork into it a couple of times, yes. You mean?
And then we just go through Chicago on Halloween, being like, Costalea na, wonky Chewbacca.
I'll be your salacious crumb. That's what I do.
No, I want you in the Hutt suit with me.
Smelling your farts.
I don't fart that much. Maybe.
I think you would fart that thing up.
I would. It would.
I'm not going to be your tail.
Wow. Fair enough. I love them.
But I do appreciate... I was given one of the most wonderful birthday gifts, about 4 years ago. From... it was Lauren... Mark, Nick, and Josh Nordmark gave me my badass Chewbacca suit.
That is a great Chewbacca suit.
Is there still a video somewhere of us? Because we recorded it. Is it?
Yeah.
There is a video somewhere. Is it on YouTube or Facebook?
Yeah, let me go down.
Something.
Let me go here.
It's like, it's just Brian's reaction discovering he got a Chewbacca suit.
Wow.
I had been talking about buying that Chewbacca suit for 4 years. Because I just thought, like, it's a ridiculous purchase, because it's like, you know, it was at least $90.
Yeah,
at least.
It was exactly $90.
Oh, well, there you go. Plus shipping, exactly $90.
Tax, whatever.
Yeah, so it was...
That's a steal for $90, even, you know?
Yeah, but I just didn't have that money to just blow on it.
Oh, I know.
And I didn't have, like, a weekly comedy show where I could just be like, yeah... I'll rationalize this purchase.
I feel like that's the perfect niche for birthday presents, though. Like, you'd never buy it for yourself, because it's unreasonable. But if everyone got together and gets it for you, then you have such a great time with it.
Yeah, it was probably the greatest gift I ever got, because it was something that I never would buy for myself, but I always thought would be cool to have. And my friends all put in their money together. And now I just wear that thing as much as humanly possible.
And you, at least once a year during our Star Wars marathons.
I
usually pop it on.
Yeah, it usually comes on for a little while.
In wintertime, like always. Not only because it's a kick-ass costume, but it always reminds me of just that gift. I just thought that was so cool. Star Wars brings happiness everywhere, Keith.
This is true.
Lauren, what are you looking for over there?
I'm trying to look for video on my Facebook, but I can't find it, because it used to be on my Facebook video. But I'm only seeing, you know, wall, info, photos, notes, anyways.
Brian's birthday presents?
Yeah.
That album?
Well, if I can find it, I'll definitely post it. But I'm also looking at Damon, because he's pretty sexy.
Damon?
Wait, who?
What the hell are you doing?
Who are you talking about? Who's Damon? I can't look at that picture, and neither can our listeners.
Can you describe it? We have listeners.
All right.
Which Star Wars movie is Damon from?
Vampire Diaries.
What is that? I shouldn't have asked.
Exists in the realm of things she likes.
Yes, this is true.
Okay, Lauren.
Okay, doesn't have the Force, but he has. Magical
power. Vampire powers!
Vampire. Lauren, I feel like Vampire Diaries is like everyone else made a vampire thing, and then, is it on, like, CW?
Yes, it is.
So you know, like, it's good.
Like, CW's market analysts were like, oh, fuck, you guys, we've been not doing anything for the past few months, and then vampires happened. Quick, hire sexy people. No, they don't have to act.
Oh. Well, it's actually based off books that were out, like, right around, like, they came out around the same time as Twilight. But, yeah, this didn't come out.
You know, it's also based off a book? Star Wars.
This is true. I remember reading.
Did you? No,
what's that? It was the graphic novel.
The Journal of Wills. Did you guys ever hear about this?
No.
Apparently, George Lucas had this story going around, and I'm sure you can find it somewhere, that the entire story of Star Wars was in a book entitled The Journal of Wills. Not like Will as in like William, but just like W-H-I-L-L-S or something. Apparently, it landed in his backyard is like what he would tell kids or something like that. And that's why I think if you, it's certain, like when the book, for when the movie came out, and then the book came out, like in 77 or 78, it would say, from the Journal of Wills. Kind of interesting.
Did they, is that real, huh, or he just was making that up sort of as a fun story?
I'm assuming he was making it up as a fun story.
I mean, but, so did the Star Wars, the book version, did it come out like at the same time as the movie?
I do not know.
The comic did.
Yeah, the comic did.
The comic did. They, it was, so you could read the comic, and the comic had the extra scenes that were taken out, yeah, too, which was, ooh, a whole new cool thing for people.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, like, they saw the deleted scenes, essentially, in the comic book, which is so, yeah, just, what a crazy idea.
What are your guys' thoughts, okay, like, we obviously Special Edition has a bad rap, but what about the Biggs Luke Skywalker scene in the Special Edition?
What
I like it.
I like about it. The one where Luke walks away from Han Solo, and then Biggs goes, Luke. And
I talk. I still would like to see what it was like when Luke met Biggs at the Tashi station. Yeah. I just wanted to know what it was like. Why Luke was such a bitch? Because he's such a bitch at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like he's like, that's the thing. I remember just hating Luke for being such a bitch. Like, he just whines through everything. And Owen and Beru are, like, really nice to him. I understand his unrestlessness, but, I mean his restlessness, but holy moly is he a bitch.
Holy moly is he a bitch. That's going to be the second quote I put on Octopus. Well.
Holy moly.
But, it just really struck me. So I like the big scene.
Yeah, I like it, too. That's like the one
is that the one in front of, like, the ship? Or no,
it's when they're about to go right before Biggs dies.
Oh.
Well, they fly into the Death Star.
Yeah.
You know what I really love about Star Wars, like sci-fi wise, mm-hmm, is that it shows a dirty, like a universe that's used. Like everything, mm-hmm, isn't polished and clean.
Yeah, true.
Everything looks like it's been lived in. Like it's been that way for years. And it's awesome. I just love that, because in so many science fiction movies, everything's so pristine and perfect. This looks like it's a real world that's been lived in by all these weird creatures from all these different, mm-hmm, planets, forced to live together because, like, now there's interstellar travel, so everybody can be anywhere. Mm-hmm. And the, like, bars like the Cantina are just so lived in and so, like, it's a hive of scum and villainy. It's not just a shitty bar. It's a hive of scum.
A wretched hive, even.
Oh, God. I mean, that's crazy.
The whole spaceport is.
And yeah. What's interesting is this is all supposed to have taken place in our past.
Yes.
Way in our past. What happened to that world? What happened to that universe? Where is that?
It's a galaxy far away, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Will we ever see that again? What if we find... I mean...
What if we walk in on that?
Tens helped me out here, but the laws of physics say that world, universe, has to exist somewhere.
The laws of certain theories about multiverses, sure.
I'm right.
if that stuff exists, well then God, I hope they're friendly to me, because we are fucked. They have way cooler weapons. Blasters... lightsabers.
Even the Gungans would kill us.
Oh,
even especially Gungans. The Gungans.
I do not want to die by Electro Orb. No, thank you.
How old were you guys when you first saw Star Wars?
I was four.
Like three or four, yeah.
I didn't catch it until much later. I was, I was probably like...
middle school.
11 or 12, yeah.
I was eight. But I first was exposed to Star Wars through Muppet Babies.
Me too. Yeah, that's a great one.
That was an awesome Star Wars.
That was how I first started seeing Star Wars things. There were a lot of... Yeah, I was curious as to what this thing they were referencing. Because they'd show certain clips of Star Wars, and I was like, this is awesome! What is this? And I found out it was Star Wars.
Was your dad like, well,
No, my dad isn't a big Star Wars fan.
No?
No, it's not his thing. He does other... My dad isn't a big movie guy. My dad does things. He's busy. He's making things or flying things or... My dad likes things that go. He doesn't like sitting and watching things. So, it's just who he is. So, no, I was exposed to it by another kid that was like, you haven't seen Star Wars? I have it on Laserdisc.
Wow.
Oh. And so we saw, I got to see, we watched Empire first, actually.
Wow.
And then we watched A New Hope. I ended up getting A New Hope from McDonald's for $4 on VHS on a road trip. Nice. Like, do you remember when McDonald's had those VHSs?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They just sell. I got Back to the Future that way, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that the VHS from that set where at the very beginning they had, like, Leonard Maltin interviews?
No. This was bare bones.
Oh, wow.
It was bare bones Star Wars. It was great.
Do you guys remember that teaser? It's still one of my favorite trailers, teasers in the history of film. It's the one where, the special edition, where it just shows, like, in the big movie theater screen, it shows a small TV, it goes. For those of you that have only seen Star Wars this way, it just shows, like, the Death Star scene, and then suddenly the X-Wing just, like, flies out of the TV, and they just show, like, all this. It's one of the coolest teasers.
I lost my shit. I was so excited.
I'm so excited for
that.
1997, I was so thrilled. I was
That's
there.
That's what was cool to be a Star Wars fan. I was in sixth grade. Everyone's like, McCool is weird, because he likes the Star Wars. What are these movies? And then suddenly I was a god in sixth grade, because I knew everything.
Just to go and see them in theaters. Oh, I was so excited.
Yeah.
That's such a cool concept. Like, when we went to the Music Box and saw Indiana Jones in the theater, I was blown away. I was like, this is really
dude,
awesome.
If Star Wars winds its way to the Music Box, I'm fucking there.
Yeah.
Which Indiana Jones did you see there?
We saw Temple of Doom.
I saw Raiders and Temple. You guys just...
Saw Temple.
Yeah.
You're just seeing with a bunch of people. Just there's something about being or experiencing something with a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
That's the only way I can do 3.5 miles. You know, 5Ks.
Be just nerding it
out.
Oh,
yeah, no.
I thought that was a movie.
Phones off, just nerding it up. We all love this thing. Let's all love it in the same room.
Yeah,
it's just a big old nerd.
I had like my cousin's birthday parties. Cause did they come out every year? The special?
No, it was like every 4 months.
It was January 31st, February 14th, and March 7th.
Because I want to say I saw, like, one of them was, like, my cousin's birthday party, and it was, like, I think it was Empire, and we just had such a great time. And then we got, like, a tour of the projector room, too, because it was his birthday.
How cool!
It was so fun.
Oh, I would love to see that. I've never gotten a tour of the projector room. We should do that.
Right now, it's probably just, like, a computer.
That's okay. I'd like to go in there and just see what it's like.
I press enter.
Yeah, that's probably...
It's a union job, so fuck yeah.
That's okay. I like to see how things go.
Mm-hmm. Cigarette break. All right.
Have you guys ever been like in a movie theater when like the movie actually stops or something went wrong?
Signs.
I was in a movie one time where someone had a stroke.
Oh God, that's horrible.
It was Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh my goodness!
And it was like dead theater, and then lights came on. Someone had a stroke. They brought an ambulance, and it was crazy.
Wow.
Whoa! We were just watching Signs in the film cutout, but it was like right when it started getting dramatic.
Oh no!
So then it totally broke the momentum for everyone in the theater, and so like from that point after, every time there's like an alien scare type moment, everyone just laughed.
Wow!
I think if I remember, my mom and I way back when, I remember we went for some reason to see The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, God.
And
sorry.
I think I remember the film cutting out in the middle of that.
That was
a blessing.
Around.
We had to wait around to see if it would come back, and it eventually did.
Oh.
But it was still more of The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Wow.
Wasn't there, like, odd half-human titties in that movie?
Yeah, something like that. I've burned 99% of the memory of that movie out.
It's very hard for me to burn out the memory of half-human, half-primate titties. It was just really graphic for me.
It's really graphic for me.
Yeah.
I would argue half-human, half-primate titties are 100% primate titties.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
You win.
I don't want to see them.
They still suck, Tins. I don't know if you want to win that award.
So fair the enough. Consensus here is that primate titties suck?
Probably.
Yes.
Okay. Did I look at their titties? Blah.
They were just hairy and colored weird.
When I was a kid, I used to say primape.
Yeah, dude.
Primape.
Because I was like, they're apes. Don't they mean primape?
Yeah,
I just assumed everyone was telling me wrong.
I think all the experts mean primate. Primate is a Pokemon.
Yeah.
It evolves from Mankey, that's the one. Not Manchi.
What?
Pokemon sense.
Yeah, Scott, I know a lot about Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all, dude. We gotta name drop one in every podcast from now
on. How long did it take you guys from when you first saw episode one to when you realized it wasn't very good?
Dude.
Five times.
Wait, you saw it five times?
I saw it five times in theaters.
I saw it three times in theaters.
I refused to admit it was bad. I couldn't.
Yeah, I saw it three times. And it
took me about 12 years.
Yeah.
Until I saw the reviews, that guy that does those reviews on YouTube. Do you guys know that?
Oh, yeah.
You should look them up. Just search for episode one review. You'll find
it. Oh, is it that like big 10 part sort
exactly.
of thing?
Exactly. It's life changing.
I've heard about it. I've never seen it.
It's why very, very it's funny. Shitty. It's very, very
funny. Should show that to Rico. Because Rico thinks, we have a friend who thinks episode one is the best Star Wars
film. Oh, he's wrong.
But in his, and I can't actually empathize, or like I can't really criticize him.
Yeah, this is in defense of all new Star Wars fans.
So, because he didn't see the other, he saw episode one first.
Yeah.
So so when he got to four, he was like, I don't know, all the technology looks kind of dumb, and plot moves differently. The lightsaber fights are all slow.
That's really interesting to see what happened.
Wow.
Like 10 years from now, 20 years from now.
Yeah.
I'm showing them to my
kids
in the right
order. The prequels way
more
than the old ones.
Damn shame.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they were raised with.
They'll never know.
Man, if George Lucas has the last laugh about this, I'm going to be so mad.
He always gets the last laugh.
Rolling on a bed of cash.
The dude's got he's got the current laugh right now. He's giving people all the Blu-rays, but not the kind of Blu-rays they want.
Yeah.
I would have them by now.
I was debating about buying it about a week ago. I said I wouldn't, but I was in a Best Buy, and I'm like,
I can't get myself to buy those.
I looked at it.
Until he takes out the Darth Vader. Until he takes out all those. No.
One thing I love about George Lucas is that he started out like Luke Skywalker, and he has since turned into the Emperor. His whole life is mirroring his stories.
The circle is complete.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. That's how it's going to turn. And I hope, like, right before he dies, he turns good.
And just releases the original.
I don't think that's what happened to the Emperor, actually.
He got thrown out.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he stayed evil to
him. Well, yeah, maybe he'll be more like Vader. Maybe he'll be more like Vader, but God, he's kind of like the Emperor now.
I think he could be more like, maybe instead of turning good, more like the Emperor. When he dies, his evil spirit will just move to another clone through which he will continue to ruin our universe.
Oh, no. Wow.
Oh,
okay, I have a question.
Okay.
There's something that's been kind of bothering me. I guess, so Carrie Fisher did her one-woman show in Chicago recently.
Wishful Drinking.
Yes, and my friend Liz went to go see it. And Liz came back and was talking to me about it because she knew that I liked Star Wars. And I guess Carrie said something in there, in the show, saying that she actually had an accent for part of Star Wars.
She did,
The fourth... I don't remember that. What?
Oh,
like,
I do.
What did she say that had an accent? Like, next time I watch it, I want to look out.
She spoke with almost a British accent.
Yeah.
Wow.
She had a higher affectation in her voice.
Darth Vader, yeah, it was like,
I can see.
I should expect to find you holding Vader's leash.
When she spoke to, I feel like it was like a senatorial deal because. She spoke like that to other officials.
But yeah,
then when she was speaking to Luke and
thing.
Han,
yeah.
She wasn't. And I thought that was what the change in dialect was.
Yeah,
I
want to
get that
deep.
That. That's what
I hope
I think
it all
was.
Boiled down to like shitty acting. That she just was very inconsistent, and we're just reading it as extremely deep because everyone else acted really well off of her still.
Yeah.
Well,
she was saying
can
something
she
like
be?
She was going in and out because she studied in London or something for a while. But yeah, I never picked up on it ever, and I've seen Star Wars a billion times. But you picked up on it.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Interesting.
Hmm. fellas and lady, we're coming close to the end of podcast hour, I must confess, I'm in a bit of a jam here. See, we normally do a segment called Cloud's Golf Tips, but Cloud isn't here right now, and gosh, fellas, I just don't know what to do. Does anyone else want to do it?
I mean, Lauren could do it.
Lauren, are you
would you like qualify to guest on Cloud's Golf Tips, Lauren?
I feel like I will not do it justice, but I will try my best.
Well, I guess that means it's time for
Cloud's Golf Tips. Rebound.
Take out your ball with the force.
This has been.
That's okay with me.
Yeah, Cloud's Golf Tips.
Taking ball out with the force is pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Sweet. Sweet place to end.
Yep.
You know,
you did well.
Put your ball in the hole with the force would. Well, next time.
Well, we are just about at the end of the hour. And I apologize we couldn't get this podcast live on live stream. A couple of technical difficulties. But that means, again, all of you listening to this right now, thank you for coming to the Star Wars musical last Sunday. It was a blast.
I hear the drink specials are going to be hootie.
So That's what they were. I drank 37 Houdinis and 2 Blue Milks.
the Blue Milk. That.
So once again, everybody, keep checking back every week, both on iTunes and on Octavarius.com, where you can check out our live podcast, normally every Monday at 9:45 p.m. Check it out every week. And again, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all the usual stuff. Until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye!
Octavarius.com.
No run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.